I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 474. Matt Damon always gets saved from France, from Mars,
from Boston.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Once again, live-ish. Well, we're live. Because we're
always alive.
But we are in my living room, right this moment.
Right here, right now.
Recording a very special.
Oh, God.
Episode of the Eshcast. Because it's time once again.
Like it every year. It comes around like Christmas.
For us to do our non-game podcast about the Oscars.
Yay.
You're so excited.
Oh my God, yay.
You're usually kind of sort of excited.
Well, because usually, for one,
there's some black people nominated?
Oh, I knew you were gonna bring that up. I knew it.
Was I gonna do that? Did I?
No. So the reason I'm usually excited for the Oscars is we will often live tweet the Oscars.
Yes.
And live Facebook the Oscars.
Yes.
And I don't...
And tear people
new buttholes. But I always feel like I'm a different caliber of funny whenever we live tweet the Oscars.
You are, because you're on. Because you're trying to be on. Especially, like, when we used to do the Grammys and the MTV Awards, we were vicious.
Oh, man, we were mean.
We were like the old dudes up in the balcony in the Muppets.
Waller and Sadler?
Statler
and Wald?
I don't know. Those two guys. Anyway, I think we've mellowed out a little bit. Not a lot.
I think our age has made us soft.
I don't disagree with that. But it is fun to kind of get away from games for a little bit, to join in on the pop culture stuff that's happening, and the Oscars is one of those
and
things.
Oh, shit. Other stuff, too.
Yeah, other stuff, too, for sure. We're probably gonna, you know, talk a little bit about Deadpool after we get through the Oscars, but I do want to talk a little bit about some of the controversy around the Oscars this year, which we'll get into. But for those of you that are uninitiated, that have never listened to our special Oscars episode, we don't go through every category.
Nope.
And we don't just talk about the movies that are in the category and be done with it.
I think usually what would happen is what? I think we used to do, like, best actor in something. We used to do, like, the best actress, best supporting, and then best movie.
Yes. And we've trimmed that down
quite a bit
over the years, because we learned that, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a really long episode, and what we find to be fun is that we pick the best picture category apart, not based off of necessarily seeing the movies. We watch the trailers live here together, have some commentary about them, and then just based off the trailers of the movies,
try to surmise who we think's gonna win.
Or offer up an opinion of who we think should win. To make the actual award show more interesting the night that it airs. And then we do tend to live tweet it, especially if we both have access to it. I can't remember this year if the Oscars are being live streamed or not, but if they are, I will, because I don't have cable. So if it's not being live streamed as far as award shows, I don't catch them live, which does make live tweeting a little bit difficult. So we have lined up the 8 nominees for Best Picture this year, their trailers, on YouTube. We are going to watch each of them.
And God, some of them are ones I've actually seen.
And some are actually movies that
now we're not getting all those movies. Like, where are these being shown for them to get
houses.
Academy Awards?
They were being shown at, like, art houses.
So.
And, like, Cinema Draft House for, like, 3 days. And it was a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And the last show was
I was very surprised looking at the list of like, I heard of that movie, saw that movie, didn't want to see that movie, but then got talked to so much about it that I practically feel like I've seen the movie. And then, Spotlight.
I appreciate your honesty, Panda.
If there's anything that I'm good at doing, it's being honest.
All right, so without further ado, let's jump into our first trailer, which is going to be...
The Big Short. Brad Pitt, Dee Dee Gardner, and Jeremy Kleiner, producers.
I heard about this one.
Yeah, and I heard that as far as doing Bostonian accents, the actors that did so were not bad. I'll be the judge. Or we'll be the judge.
We'll be the judge.
But here we go with...
The Big Short.
All right, number one, Michael, Sam Rockwell. I'm in.
The whole housing market is propped up on these bad loans.
Hey, it's your boy.
The housing market is rock.
Christian Bale?
Yeah.
He ain't my boy.
I thought you liked Bale. Now you don't like Bale?
I like Bale, but
so he's not your boy.
He's not my boy in this movie.
No, oh. More than Alan Greenspan's dog to my bird. Yes, he does.
American people. We're getting screwed by the. Now you want to talk about boys?
Getting madder and madder.
Steve Carell. Like, what is going on with Steve Carell?
Hi, Ryan Gosling. You're looking kind of Weasley.
There's some shady stuff going down. All the banks were having a big old party. A few outsiders saw what no one else could. The whole world economy might collapse.
You know,
I'm sure the world's banks have more incentives to greed.
There's a lot of heavy hitters in this movie.
Nothing says, like taking down the government, taking down banks.
Big money.
I think we're either high or having a stroke.
Why can't it be both?
I'm brilliant.
Fraud will never ever work, eventually. Things go south.
Yeah.
When the hell did we forget all that?
Yeah, when did we forget that? Fraud is not a beautiful thing. It's bad, especially when you're frauding me and my money, bitches.
It's fueled by stupidity.
But that's not stupidity, that's fraud.
Tell me the difference between stupid and illegal and I'll have my wife's brother arrested.
Christian Bale, Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling, Brad Pitt.
You have any idea what you just did?
Did I just shit on the porch?
No, you shit on the American economy. I think somebody might get eaten by a gator. I saw a gator. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. There's that dude that was in the New Girl.
I find houses in the condo.
Damn.
She definitely stripped her way through college.
But she
and grad school.
She made it work. All right. So that's The Big Short. I did not see this movie. Did you see it?
I did not see this movie.
After watching the trailer, I feel like I probably should have seen this movie.
I feel like this movie kind of sits in the same kind of palette as, like, The Wolf of Wall Street.
And because of that, I feel like I have seen this movie.
Exactly.
Because I have seen The Wolf of Wall Street, which
I mean,
is a
granted,
great play.
Minus the drugs.
Yeah. But I'm like, sure there's drugs in there,
but
though.
Some of those dramatic shots, the build of tension in some of those scenes is very similar to stuff that happened in Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I mean, I respect the power of the cast there, because those are definitely some heavy hitters.
I agree.
And for me, I'm really enjoying, like, watching Steve Carell go outside of the comedy bubble.
And kind of be...
Like, I still think he was robbed for Foxcatcher. I think he deserved to win.
He was a badass like in this. Like, he kind of comes off like, what is it? Not like the Mary Sue or the Cassandra, but whatever the guy
Mary
version.
Jane?
Yeah, he's like the...
So the Michael John?
The Michael John of... Because he's just like, shit's happening, guys. I told you. So yeah, that's The Big Short. I definitely like... I really like that we're seeing a lot more movies with strong ensemble casts. So now that we're seeing...
Like, you know, everybody went through a phase of having ensemble pieces. And, you know, like anything, you have period pieces that go in waves where, like, everybody and their cousin wants to make period pieces again. Yeah. And then they go away. And then everybody's doing, you know, cinema verite stuff. And then it goes away. So, you know, but the ensemble thing died out for a real long time. And I think part of it was because there just wasn't a lot of actors who were... willing to be part of an ensemble. Because to do ensemble well, you can't be the standout star. There can't be a standout in the ensemble for it to work. And I think for a while there were a lot of people
who wanted to be top dog in their movies.
Who, you know, had been second fiddle, you know, second billing for a while, that really wanted to be top dog, and so ensemble wasn't appealing for them for a while. But I agree, it is nice to see ensemble coming back.
And it being, strong. Absolutely.
You know, so
Bridge of Spies, Steven Spielberg, Mark Platt, and Christy McCosco-Krieger, producers.
Which I'm gonna be honest with you, right off the bat, I admit my bias.
Okay.
I'm gonna admit my bias. I am kind of over Steven Spielberg working with Tom Hanks. I would like for them to, have a breakup and maybe see some other people.
You mean like Scorsese and DiCaprio?
Yeah, but I'm not tired of Scorsese and DiCaprio. I can't even.
Now, let me just say this, though, because there's a movie in this Best Movies that DiCaprio's in that Scorsese did not.
I know, and I'm okay with that. They have gone and worked with other people, but I need Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks to have a little bit of a breakup. I need them to,
they need their own space.
You know, they need to, separate for a little bit. They need to work with other people, you know, explore their creative juices separately. And, you know, then come back and see how they feel about things.
Okay. Let's watch.
So, I'm admitting my bias up front.
Now, here's my deal. So, I have loved a lot of Steven Spielberg movies. I fell out, or rather, I all of a sudden put on my glasses of
took off your rose-colored glasses.
I did,
saw the reality.
and put on my thick goggles for inspection when he took over the last bit of AI for Stanley Kubrick.
No, he took over AI and redid it, and I refuse to call AI a Kubrick film because it is not a Kubrick film.
Up until this, no, in that movie,
before when they move to the town, as soon as they go to the big city, that's where the Kubrick stuff stops because they start explaining everything. And Kubrick,
if he would
not
stop that and just let us all experience that visually, and then when they go underneath the water,
yes.
Right when he finds that statue, he would have left it at that. There would have been no, oh, the aliens dug him out and he happened to still be... No.
No.
He would have... It would have left off with that android just powering down and dying, kind of like humanity. It was so beautiful right then. And they could have left it right there and left that impact. But then Steven was like, you know what this
movie needs? I'm going to explain it. And you're like,
this needs aliens. And we need a clean resolution for this machine to die.
No. Bad, wrong, Spielberg.
But anyway,
bad, wrong.
We're not talking about AI. We're talking about...
No, we just did talk about AI and our biases. But here we go.
Man, that man still has so much freaking credibility, though.
Who, Hanks?
Yeah. He just stands with such conviction.
All right. Cold War film. Because, you know, Spielberg's not done doing war films. I'm telling you right now, if we end up saving Matt Damon in this movie, I'm going to throw a table.
That's later.
Something important has come up.
My dick.
Really, Panda?
I'm an insurance lawyer. I haven't done criminal work in years.
Have you represented many accused spies?
This will be a first for the both of us.
You should be careful.
Oh.
People are scared of this man. It's a threat to all of us. Do you know how people look at us? The family of a man trying to free a traitor?
Everyone deserves a defense.
Yeah.
Every person matters.
From this moment forward,
okay.
We will not refer to the UQ as a reconnaissance aircraft. You're going to be taking pictures over Soviet territory.
Boom!
We got our spy pilot with a head full of classified information. We got their guy. We want you to negotiate the swap so it's not governments talking.
What?
You defend a full thermonuclear exchange with the Soviet Union. I'm talking to you about the security of your country.
What?
I heard you there want this negotiation to take place. East Berlin.
Just tell me that you're not going to be in any danger.
No danger. Just going to, you know, Berlin. Gonna... negotiate a spy swap.
The law is less firmly established over there.
You know.
Interaction with people generally.
Because I mean,
conversation our governments can't.
Nazis. Pretty much.
Definitely stay away from the wall.
Yeah. Don't do that. That'd be bad. Don't get shot.
Doesn't want this exchange to ever take place.
Yeah.
Things have started to fall apart.
There's a cost to these things. The cost to both your country and your family.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, don't you dare shoot Tom Hanks. All right, so here's the deal. Mad powerful trailer. I have no interest in that movie whatsoever. And not because I don't have any interest in history movies. And I love Tom Hanks. Like, he looks like he's amazing in this movie.
He kind of looks like we've revisited Road to Perdition.
Yes. Thank you.
Which, and I liked Road to Perdition.
I did too.
But I feel like we're getting the same kind of vibe from that. Except obviously now it's Berlin and it's spies. Yeah. And not whatever time period I think Road to Perdition was in. Wasn't that like around Prohibition and stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, wasn't that the 20s and 30s?
I think so. But it feels very similar in terms of style and structure. And I feel like you could just give Tom Hanks a different set of lines and put him in a cabbie hat and a trench coat and you'll feel the same way.
Yeah. I'm not
I'm not hating on it, but I'm definitely
not impressed.
I will be upset if other movies who are definitely up in the running for this movie of the year, who have taken some interesting risks.
Well, let me put it this way.
Are not going to get their props for
it. Let me put it this way. Compared to the previous trailer that we watched, if I was just picking between these two based off a trailer for Best Picture, the first one seems more entertaining and more interesting.
To you personally.
To me personally.
Different strokes, different folks.
Yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, that's what you're going to do.
Brooklyn. Finola Dwyer and Amanda Posey, producers.
So this is one that sparked some conversation on the internet. There were some people... You got to love Black Twitter. There were some
Black
people,
Twitter?
You got to love Black Twitter. So there are some people on Black Twitter who are like, how are you going to have a movie called Brooklyn that doesn't have any black people in it?
Because it's her name.
Wait, hold on. They're like, Spike Lee would be turning in his grave if he was dead.
So he's just at his house spinning.
Yeah. I'm like, come on, Black Twitter. That's not cool.
Why do we have to have a Black Twitter?
I mean, that shit's funny. No. Are you not? Do you not Twitter?
No, not
okay.
really.
Okay, there's a massive black African-American movement on Twitter.
Oh.
Okay. Both around, you know, Black Lives Matter and...
Oh, I was a part of that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Black Twitter.
Got it.
Yeah. So not like there's a separate, like, blacktwitter.com Twitter. Okay. It's black people on Twitter, a.k.a. Black Twitter. So here's another movie. I don't know a lot about this movie, but we're going to find out about it. But seeing how serious she's in it, I'm going to guess that it's a love movie.
I mean, it's a PG-13 movie.
I'm going to guess
it's got sexuality, some strong language, and nudity.
I'm going to guess that it's a period piece, and it's about a period of time, maybe, in Brooklyn? I don't know.
In her vagina.
You know what?
Let's just watch it.
I can't with you.
Small of
Step over this way, please. Get out of the line. Next. Passport, please. Welcome to the United States, ma'am.
All right. So it is about Brooklyn, really before black people took over Brooklyn.
I miss you.
Oh, there's a black person in the trailer.
The most important news is that I have a job and I'm in a boarding house. I was glad to see you finally got some letters from home today.
Oh, no, it's the lady that was really mean to the kids in the Harry Potter. You know, the one I wanted
Umbridge.
To die. Yeah. Fuck her.
Be an Irish girl in Ireland.
Homesickness is like most sicknesses.
Is that Jim Broadbent? Okay, you kind of sort of had me at Jim Broadbent.
So what were you doing at an Irish dance?
I really like Irish girls.
I met somebody. An Italian fella. We're going to Coney Island at the weekend.
But do you have baby costume?
Why didn't you tell me to put my costume on underneath my clothes?
I thought you knew. I want to ask you something, and you're going to say, oh,
yep.
It's too soon.
It's a love thing.
For dinner, and me and my family.
I'd love to.
You like Italian food?
I'm gonna say splash anytime I see problems.
Good idea. Splash!
You just splashed his mother, his father, and the walls.
Oh.
Let's go again.
Ready?
I should say that. We don't like Irish people.
Hey, hey.
What? We don't. That is a well-known fact.
I mean, we're not racist at all. Just saying, fuck the Irish.
My mother bury her.
You want to go home, I guess.
How would it be for you if I did go home?
I'd be afraid.
Afraid that I wouldn't come back.
Yeah. Home is home.
Yeah, that's true. Home is home. In fucking Ireland, man.
It's very backward to you now.
Is that Jim Farrell I saw? He's a catch for someone.
They have a life halfway across the sea.
Your life here could be just as good.
Nope.
If you can go back, I have nobody.
I want you to stay here with me.
Nope. You gotta go back to Brooklyn. You gotta go back to that first love. You gotta go to that first man.
That got the girly juices flowing.
What?
For me, at least.
Okay. I mean, here's the thing. It looks like a cute love triangle set in what Republicans will refer to as a simpler time. Where
apparently not. Look at all this drama.
You know, where just the Irish hated the Italians and vice versa.
Like, we just don't like Irish. I'm just going to say it. I'm 8.
Yeah, like, I'm just gonna put it out there on the table. We don't like the Irish. They're like, whoa, 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 whoa,
whoa.
What? It's true. We all know this. Yeah, you're like, come here, Uncle Junior. Like,
it's like, you're gonna be a racist grandpa. I can already tell.
Yeah.
I like the direction in terms of, like, the color. Like, it's very vibrant.
Yeah,
for,
it's beautiful.
For this period. I would never have thought
that we'd
see
so... I mean,
the
white people look gorgeous.
And the one black person in there looked pretty good, too.
Yeah, she looked nice. She looked
I liked
nice.
Her glasses. It was quite reminiscent. Nice. But,
you know, baby teal is definitely her color.
But when I really kind of look at this movie, I'm kind of surprised to see it in this lineup.
Yeah, I don't...
I'm not sure, like, whose dick did this director suck to be like, hey, we'll slide you in there, but you're probably not going to win.
Again, I'm going to go with, because it's kind of sort of at this point in time a period piece.
Maybe.
And the Oscars love a period piece.
I'll give them a period piece.
And you know, I mean, it is...
I mean, it's cute, and I think this
it's
was
probably
totally,
written really well.
This is probably something that if it was on HBO Go and I was by myself,
you would watch
I
the
would
shit
watch
out
it.
Of it. Yeah, you would watch the shit out
but
of it.
But I would not personally go out of my way to find it opening night.
I never
and watch
saw
it
in the theater.
And so, really, I wouldn't do that.
Like
not me.
That I'm hearing about it. So, there's that.
So,
Mad Max Fury Road, Doug Mitchell and George Miller, producers.
The next one is a movie I saw twice.
Okay, so now here's where we're going to have to, I am going to have to admit something.
Me too.
I've not seen this movie.
Oh man, dude. I saw it twice.
This is one that I feel like in this whole group of movies that we're
this
looking
at... This
is
like at, the one I would have expected you to have seen.
Yeah, and the one that I have seen is the next one.
And I didn't see the
oh
next
my
one.
God! I will tell you off the bat, I don't know why this movie is in this category.
Wow, okay.
Now, I haven't seen it. And here's another thing I'm going to admit. Because I'm all about being honest, guys. Okay? I have not actually ever watched this trailer before, either.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I have not seen the trailer.
Man, now my
and I have not
confessions
seen the
are not nearly as bad. So I...
These are your confessions.
I have to confess that the only Mad Max movie that I have seen...
Don't say just Thunderdome. Do not say just Thunderdome.
Yep.
Oh, Thunderdome. No!
I only saw...
I mean, Thunderdome is good because Tina Turner.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, that's the thing. So the fiancé has all of them. And every
you
time...
You watch them.
And every time I'm like, oh, you know what? Maybe I'm going to be like, hey, let's watch it. Be like, we should watch it right now. And I'm like, oh, I don't want it to be his idea. Because then he likes to brag that, yeah, I totally turned her on to that. Like, he likes to Christopher Columbus all the fucking time.
Yo, so, I tried to Christopher Columbus with you, and you don't allow it.
No,
but
I don't.
You let other people do it, and you're like, oh my God, I saw this amazing thing. I'm like, I told you about that a year ago.
But I won't give him that satisfaction, so I have to wait for him to not want to watch it, which is... And now he's fighting with me with Blade Runner, because I haven't seen Blade Runner either.
Oh, Jesus, no, you need to see Blade Runner.
So one morning, he was asleep, and I'm like, I'm just going to watch this while he's asleep. And halfway through the movie, he gets up, he's like, you're watching Thunderdome? He's like, did you not watch, did you watch Road Warrior first? I'm like, no. Tina Turner.
So, I mean, I'm with you, bro. Tina Turner.
Tina Turner.
Tina Turner wins.
And I'm like, granted, I heard not much happens in the first one anyway, because not much of the apocalypse is really, right. It's right at the beginning, so yeah. Not a lot's like...
It's the setup.
So, but anyway, but he was so adamant when Fury Road came out, and I was trying very hard to not go see this movie. And he wanted me to experience it, because I guess he thought it would fuel my fire to want to see what came before. Granted, all he had to say was Bane without his mask was on. And I was like, alright, I'm totally down for some Tom Hardy. Spoiler alert, or rather not even, kick to my nuts, he's practically in a mask for most of the movie anyway. But you don't know that because you haven't seen it. But
let's watch now.
Let's watch the trailer.
In this wasteland, I'm the one who runs from both the living and the
I don't know, it's giving me, you know, rage. Remember the Bethesda game?
Yep.
That, like, 8 people played?
Like, 10.
Well, yeah, because I played it.
Yeah.
It is my mind! There's some water, boy. Hey, Tom Hardy. So I guess that I
want them back. They're my property.
Maybe should have?
Yeah.
Oh, what a day. What a lovely day.
Want to get through this?
So, basically just the bad guy trying to get these bitches back?
Essentially, it turns into, yeah, the bad guy wanting, well, because he doesn't realize his ladies have been stolen. And when he finally figures it out, he's like, we're all gonna go out and get them! And Mad Max at this point really just wants to get the fuck out of here. Like, he really doesn't want to... really be involved. What tends to, I guess, is the thing that really kind of makes this a Mad Max movie.
Correct.
Is you have this very reluctant hero, yep, who's really just trying to get his shit and not be connected
did
to people at all.
Is that flames coming out of his guitar?
Yes. Oh my god. Yes. And he rides on the front of this car, and all he does is imbue you with the rock that makes you want to fight till you die. Literally. Visually, like, this movie was very visually stunning. They did a lot with light brown, gray, and black for color. Like, no lie.
Well, if you've got George Miller involved, like, that kind of has to happen, doesn't
kind
it?
Kind of, yeah. But, I mean, I think the thing was that this movie had so much hype that,
oh,
like,
it was
people,
mad hype. The
people...
game was hyped, the movie was... And I think that's part of the reason why I shied so far away from it, because the game was so hyped and the movie was, yeah, so hyped... that I was like, by the time it actually came out, I was so overhyped, I'm like, I'm actually kind of over it.
But the sad thing about that was, is that you missed out, because the movie was high octane, lots of action, the story, well, very loosely Mad Max related, kind of, I feel like this movie should not have been called Mad Max, because even though he's in a lot of the scenes, it's not really Mad Max, you know, owning up, you know, dealing with his personal demons, because clearly he has them in,
yeah,
in the initials, but it's really more about Furiosa, who's the chick who's got the black coal on her face, and she's really more of the protagonist in this film than anything. But I mean, if you're gonna do a Mad Max movie, you gotta have your Mad Max in there. And I mean, and Tom Hardy barely—he maybe says 6 words, kind of like Ryan Gosling in Drive.
Yeah.
Barely says anything. There's a lot of grunts and weird looks that, like, he kind of looks like he's constipated. But like Furiosa, you know, has all these, you know, great, like, soliloquies out in the sand, and she cries out in the desert. And I think that's what got her the nod. I think that's what got the movie the nod, is that she was going for it. And I mean, I know a lot of feminists were like, hell yeah, this movie. And like, it came around the time that feminism was like the cool thing to be about, you know? But, I mean, I just liked it because the energy was just, it kept me awake. Because I saw this at 11 o'clock at night at IMAX.
Oh, wow. You were not already a pumpkin?
I wasn't. Because every time I went to go fall asleep, the fiance would poke me. And he's like, you just get to it. And, like, we went with one other guy. And the guy fell asleep in his chair and missed the movie. And I could not fall asleep to it. Like, my eyes were glued to the screen. It was so thrilling and engaging.
Well, shit. Now I guess I need to watch it.
You gotta
watch
it.
It's on the HBO.
I don't feel it will win.
Right.
But it took a lot of risks in terms of how it shot its scenes and stuff.
Yeah.
It took a lot of risk with, for one, getting such a top bill actor and putting him in a role where he's not gonna shine for what he shines best for.
Right.
You know, I mean, granted, Charlize Theron, we clearly know that lady's got chops.
And a half.
And then you got the really cute hot guy who was on Skins, and he was Beast in X-Men First Class. That hot kid guy.
The nerdy guy.
And he was one of the skin white guys who's got cancer. I don't remember what they're called. Skull Boys, I think. And he did, I thought... For one, I didn't realize it was him. I think his last name's Holt or something like that. I don't remember what his first name is. I didn't realize it was him until halfway through the movie, and I was like, I know those piercing blue eyes anywhere. He's in my spank bank. What's he doing here? And, like, talk about, you know, because he lost a lot of weight for that role, so, like, you've got some people who are willing to go above and beyond to get that aesthetic. And it was signed, sealed, and delivered. And I saw it twice. So that speaks... mountains to me. But like I said, out of probably everything we're going to see today, I think it got a nod because it's highly stylistic, but I don't think it's got enough juice to take home Best Picture of the Year.
The Martian. Simon Kinberg, Ridley Scott, Michael Schaefer, and Mark Hufflepuff, producers.
I did not see this next movie. I refused to go see this movie.
I tried to get you to go see this movie with me.
And you did, and the fiance did, and some of my friends did, and this is what I have to say about this. No, Hollywood needs to stop spending money on trying to save Matt Damon.
No.
If Matt Damon goes out somewhere and gets lost, that's on him.
Matt Damon is a goddamn national treasure, and we will save him wherever Matt Damon needs saving. What?
Matt Damon got lost in a war, Tom Hanks had to go get him. Goodwill Hunting, he lost his mind, Robin Williams had to go find it.
He's been lost since he's Facebook lost, 4, too.
Right.
Have you not seen the honest trailer for this? It's like, oh, we're saving Matt Damon again. And, like, run through, like, all the movies
where we've had to save him. Okay. Matt Damon needs to just stay home.
No, Matt Damon needs saving.
And granted,
Matt Damon's in trouble, you save Matt Damon.
Even if Matt Damon stayed home, he'd be taken, and then Liam Neeson would have to go and get him.
Because what do? You save Matt Damon.
Every human being has a basic instinct to help each other out.
No.
If
to poop.
If a hiker gets lost in the mountains, people coordinate a search. If an earthquake levels the city, people all over the world send emergency supplies.
If Matt Damon gets lost on Mars,
this instinct is found in
Matt Damon gets lost in the subway, we're shutting down the subway.
We're walking the lines, man.
Our satellites detected a storm approaching the Ares 3 mission site on Mars. The storm had escalated to severe, and we had no choice but to abort the mission. But during the evacuation,
whoops,
astronaut Mark Watney was killed.
Actually,
that looked really bad, but clearly it did not kill him.
But
this log for the record. This is Mark Watney, and I'm still alive. Obviously.
For now.
Contact NASA or my crewmates. But even if I could, it would take 4 years for another manned mission to reach me. And I'm in a hab designed to last 31 days. So, in the face of overwhelming odds, I'm left with only one option. I'm gonna have to science the shit out of this.
And that's what got him the Oscar. That's what got him the nod.
Figure out how to grow 4 years worth of food here on a planet where nothing grows.
But he's the botanist, right?
Yeah.
He's the plant guy.
You
want to
talk about a Mary Jane?
It's this guy.
Houston, be advised. We've got a video message. It's directed to the whole crew. Play it.
Oh, my God.
Whoa, Kristen Wiig looking all serious?
Yeah.
In your face, Neil Armstrong.
We left them behind. Let's go get our boy. This is something NASA rejected, so we're talking mutiny. And if we mess up the supply rendezvous, we die. If we mess up the Earth gravity assist, we die.
Yeah. This movie is so good, it kind of is ridiculous.
It doesn't cooperate. I guarantee you that at some point, everything's going to go south on you. And you're going to say, this is it. This is how I end.
Is it possible that he's still alive?
Yep.
Yeah, about that.
Man, look at all those huge freaking names.
Let's talk about this for a minute. You got Jessica Chastain.
Now, she was 30 Dark 030, right?
Yes, Zero
Dark 30, yeah, or whatever
she was in that.
Okay.
She's been in a bunch of things. You got Kristen Wiig.
Bridesmaids.
You've got Jeff Daniels.
Dumb and Dumber. What? And Newsroom. Newsroom, he was a little bit more serious.
Thank you. You got Michael Pena. Kate Mara.
What was Pena in recently? He was in one of the... Oh, God.
Don't look at me.
It was a superhero movie.
Recently. Avengers. Civil War.
The Civil War hasn't come out yet.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm throwing things out.
Oh, Ant-Man. He was in Ant-Man.
Oh, I didn't see Ant-Man.
Kate Mara was in freaking House of Cards. Totally got a...
And his Rooney's sister. Like, that's just awesome. Sean Bean. Being Sean Bean, but wait, not getting Sean Beaned.
I was about to say, I'm like, wait.
He doesn't die.
He doesn't die in this movie?
He doesn't die.
Then it's not a good Sean Bean movie.
It is. He lives. Sean Bean lives. Sebastian Stan. Donald Glover, who is the fucking man in this movie.
Fucking man. And then the guy whose name I can't spell, but he has a... He has a great... Chiwetel Munger?
Oh my God. Chitwell Ejiofor. Chitwell Ejiofor.
Ejiofor.
Chitwell Ejiofor.
Ejiofor.
Chitwell Ejiofor.
Ejiofor. I'm just going to say Mr. Ejiofor. He has a dramatic look.
Chitwetel Ejiofor. Ejiofor.
Nope. Ejiofor. Nah. Thanks.
Anyway, so I saw The Martian. I absolutely love The Martian for a couple of reasons. You have to suspend your disbelief because, one, there's no way anybody has all the talents that Damon has as one person on this mission to survive. Because he ends up having to perform surgery on himself.
Does he masturbate in this movie?
You don't see him masturbate in this movie. But he does do one of my favorite things in this movie, which is eat one of the last potatoes that he was able to grow for himself because he's run out of ketchup, doused in crushed
Vicodin.
He's like, I don't have any ketchup, so I'm going to take this one down with some crushed Vicodin. And, like, just dips the potato in this crushed Vicodin so that he can sleep. Because he loses a lot of weight. You do get to see Damon Butt, but it's not the way that you want to see Damon Butt.
Got it.
But his ability to science the shit out of things.
He said he was going to science the shit out of this movie.
The amount of things that are left on the planet that allow him to travel as far as he is able to travel to do some things, like, just would not actually be. So you have to suspend your disbelief for that. But if you do, it is an enjoyable movie. Like, there's some great laugh lines in it. There's some fantastic moments of seriousness in it. I think that they probably could have done a little bit more with Kristen Wiig in the movie, in all honesty. But for the most part, like, it's a really good flick. And it is shot amazingly, but you expect nothing less from a Ridley Scott flick. You know, so, I mean, you put that amount, again, an ensemble like that together.
Now let me just ask you, because I have not seen this movie.
You should see it. As much as I should see Mad Max, you should see Martian.
But don't they just effectively just go, look, we're just going to use the gravitational pull of the Earth to shoot us back that way?
Nope.
That's not what they do? How do they get their ship back?
So,
after the show.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But basically, they have a plan to send a different vehicle with the help of China to go get him. Some shit falls through. Eventually, the public learns that he's alive. So, like, are you fucking gonna go get him? Like, what the fuck are you gonna do? Like, what the fuck?
His crew Jeff has Daniels to, like, duh.
His crew has to make a decision. they decide that they're going to man up and make it happen, because with Donald Glover's amazeballs plan, it could actually work. But it is not the easiest thing to pull off. Gravity is involved, but it's not the Earth's gravity that's involved. In trying to help get their ship back with enough fuel is the difficulty in one of the plans. So you've got a piece of it, but not the whole thing. You just need to watch the movie.
All right.
I think that it probably, for you, Panda, was not a go out to the theater and watch and you would enjoy movie. It's definitely a you on your couch with popcorn would fucking enjoy movie.
Someone said that to me about Interstellar, and I haven't seen that either.
I haven't seen Interstellar either, and I keep telling myself, like, I need my brain to be in the right place in order to enjoy Interstellar, and I'm not there yet.
The Revenant. Arnon Milchan, Steve Gollan, Alejandro G. Iñárritu, Mary Parent, and Keith Redman, producers.
Now, here's one that everybody and their cousin keeps talking about. Again, because I believe in honesty, I'm going to say it right now. I have not watched this trailer.
I haven't watched this trailer.
I have not seen this movie.
I have not seen this movie.
I love Leonardo DiCaprio. I do. I love Leo. I don't think that there's a movie that I've seen Leo in that I have not enjoyed Leo in that movie.
Shutter Island?
I enjoyed Leo in Shutter Island. I just didn't enjoy Shutter Island.
Okay.
Because it's not really my type of movie, and I only watched it because Leo was in it.
Right.
And I thought that he did a great job in it.
I loved him in Aviator.
But I thought that he's phenomenal in Aviator.
Was it Catch Me? No.
No, he wasn't in Catch Me If You Can. Yeah, he was. He was in Catch Me If You Can. He wasn't in Now You See Me.
Great Gatsby.
Yeah, Gatsby he was good in. But Shutter Island, I just, I had figured out what was going on early on in the movie, and that was the whole thing in the movie, right? And I didn't think the movie did itself any favors because I figured it out early.
The only reason why I knew this movie was a movie is because there are 8 people at my job who are currently reading the book and have all gone and saw it. I imagine
that as a book it would probably be more shocking and be more enjoyable, but spoilers, I figured out that everything was in his head within 20 minutes of watching the movie.
Shutter Island.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'm talking about The Revenant. The reason why I know that this...
The
reason why I know that this became a movie is that there are 8 people in my office who are reading the book.
I thought you were talking about Shutter Island. No, and I was like, Shutter Island as a book, probably much better than Shutter Island
as a movie. And I imagine that's probably still very true.
Who the hell is Rat Pack Entertainment?
I don't know.
The safe thing to do is track a new course back up on the
land. Then what we're gonna do is sit out there like a bunch of goddamn ducks.
You and your half-breed son, get a walk on out?
I'm talking to you.
Oh, it's Brett Ratner's company.
Oh. Oh, man. This bear fucked him up. Or at least... Ooh.
The proper thing to do would be to piss him off quick.
He needs to be cared for as long as necessary.
I understand. No.
That's not what that man said. He said you're supposed to care for him.
We did what we had to do. He was very right.
My dad was that boy. And he took him from me, you understand?
Oh, he gonna be mad.
It's like the Punisher out in the cold woods.
Yeah. Gonna kill your ass.
Yep.
I ain't afraid of dying anymore. I've done it already.
Did he just ride that horse?
Off the cliff. Yeah. So here is what I'm going to say about this.
Well, I mean, damn.
I think Leonardo DiCaprio is dominating. In every scene that they're showing in these trailers, he is just the brightest thing. And Tom Hardy's in here, and Tom Hardy's my boy. But, talk about commanding your eye to him in every scene.
Well, you heard us shut the fuck up. So, I mean, that should tell you
something. We did not talk. Now, here's the thing, though. Like, DiCaprio in this is kind of giving me Norman Reedus.
See, I don't watch the zombie thing, so I don't...
No, but you could, if you see pictures of Norman Reedus, and you see what he kind
of... The last picture of Norman Reedus I saw was him sitting next to Kojima, which made me very happy.
It made me very happy, but that's especially not what we're talking about right now.
2 days before that was a picture of Kojima with Guillermo del Toro.
Man, I hope Silent Hills is gonna come back. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about right now. But I'm just saying that, and I've only ever seen Norman Reedus in like the first three seasons of Walking Dead. I haven't seen the last three seasons, so I have no idea what's happening with that. But I enjoyed his character and how powerful and dynamic he is. And that's exactly how Leo's reading to me in this trailer. Now, granted, it looked like he got mauled by a fucking bear. It looked like he got left for dead. Then it looked like his crew was like, we're going to kill him because we're not going to take him with us. Because
we don't want to waste any food or medicine on him because he's not going to recover.
And then his son tried to stop him, and that motherfucker killed his son.
They didn't. That motherfucker. And that motherfucker got to get comeuppance. That's what this movie is about. It should be called Comeuppance, motherfucker.
It's Punisher in the Woods. You kill my family, I now break your face.
Yeah, pretty much. I punish you in the name of the moon.
Now, Leo, nope. I'm going to say this to you, bro. You kind of... I feel like you deserve some serious recognition for this film.
Look, if Leo doesn't win for this film, which is a right for the wrong for not winning for Aviator, because I'm sorry, he should have won for Aviator.
I agree.
Like, a lot of people feel really strongly that this is Leo's year.
It should be. How many years has he gone and never won anything?
Inarritu can direct, like, nobody's business. Like, I respect the man, so, and I respect Leo. I haven't seen this movie, but from the trailer, his performance looks amazing.
It looks first class.
But as far as, like, the best picture in this group...
I mean, we still have two more that we haven't really looked at. I mean...
We got two more to look at.
The Revenant's...
It's up there.
The Revenant's sitting there pretty high.
Yeah. It's definitely up there. I want to put The Martian up there because it is just, like, all around a really amazing movie, both the visuals, the story, the firepower that's in it. But I would definitely say that The Revenant is on a completely different level than The Martian.
I agree.
Based off of trailers.
You're right.
Room. Ed Gein, producer.
Also another movie that I have not seen.
I know nothing about this movie. Except now that it's rated R for its language.
It is, in fact, rated R, and it is based on a book. And it does have one of my more favorite actresses in it, Brie Larson.
Oh, I like Brie Larson.
Truck. Wiggle out. Jump. Run. Somebody.
I'm scared.
I know. I'm gonna be there in your head talking to you the whole time.
Truck. Wiggle out. Jump when the truck slows down. Run. Somebody.
Jack, listen to me. This is our chance.
Thank you for letting us do this. Oh my God. We're grateful to hear your story.
Thank you to everyone who sent their good thoughts and their prayers.
For 5 years, you made life in that small room, that prison, as nurturing and normal as you could.
You're so old now.
Yeah. And do you know what we're going to do today?
What?
We are going to bake a birthday cake. You chose to tell Jack that room was the whole world, that there was nothing else.
Good morning, lamp. Good morning, plant. Good morning, sink.
I want him to feel safe and that it was a great place for him to live.
Did you ever think you would be free?
I hoped.
Hello, Jack. Thanks for saving our little girl.
Oh my God.
Are we in another planet?
Mm-mm. Same one, just a different spot.
Holy mother.
I've been in the world 37 hours.
That's us.
I've seen windows and hundreds of cars and birds and grandma and grandpa.
Jack, someone here would like to meet you.
I'm still struggling with the fact that that's
will
a boy.
Will he find us?
No. He will never find us. Everyone keeps asking,
are we okay? You have no idea what's going on in my head!
Yeah, well, try me!
Then every time you look at me, that's all that you see?
When I look at you, Joy, I will see my daughter.
Wow.
You're gonna love it.
What?
The world.
Okay. How in the fuck did we not know about this movie?
I have goose pimples running up and down my freaking arms right now. Holy shit. Okay, so, from trailer alone.
Yeah, yo, dog, no, serious. How the fuck do we not know about this movie?
I feel like this now has
this to is our kind of movie to go to together. Why did we not know about this?
I had no idea about this.
I did not know about this.
But holy
where shit. The hell did this movie play?
In like really, really small art houses.
Obviously. Holy shit. But
talk about impactful.
What?
And what a strong narrative to pretty much put in the hands of, because granted, you know, actors, I think actors have a very, very hard job. And I think it's even harder for children actors to be put into such a serious role and for them to command the narrative. Because it's through that voice, that hopeful voice, that you realize just how, for one, granted, how dynamic a performance that Brie had to give.
Yep.
To get that type of performance out of this kid. Like, wow. Oh my god. And yes, I thought for a second there, I'm like, a boy? It's a boy?
Yeah. I was like, wait, that's a boy? Jack, you know, wait, what?
I mean, at first that's I thought this was like a retelling of, what's her name? Elizabeth Smart?
Right.
For a second there, that's what I thought they were going with. And I mean, technically with the whole, you know, being captive and stuff, absolutely. But, like, that's a very sensitive subject. I mean, there's a lot of things that people will take away from this film that may not have necessarily been what their focus was going to be. But, oh my gosh. So now this definitely moves up the list.
Yeah, now I'm at Revenant in this.
Yeah.
As far as
they're,
Best Picture
they're the
goes.
Two that, really, for me, holy I would be mother. 100% happy with either of them taking it.
I mean, holy mother.
Like, that gave me goosebumps.
Like, why the hell is Mad Max even in the same category as that?
For its visual, I think, and its hype appeal. But anyway, so, but it pales in comparison to story. And to the
Spotlight. Michael Sugar, Steve Golan, Nicole Rocklin, and Bly Pagan Faust, producers.
And so the last one that we have here,
I've heard the name Spotlight, but I have no idea what it's about.
Well, here we go.
I know there's things you cannot tell me, but I also know there's a story here, and I think everybody will hear about it.
Do you think your paper has the resources to take that on?
I do. Do you?
And priests molested kids in six different parishes over the last 30 years.
All right, you got the Shriver, you got the Ruffalo.
We haven't committed any long-term investigative resources to the case.
No, we haven't.
And that's the kind of thing
you got the Michael Keaton.
Holy shit.
You got the dude there from the Mad Men.
Everybody's going to be interested in this.
Obviously, the church will fight us very hard.
Trying to get some background information.
I don't want you recording this in any way, shape, or form. Nothing.
You got, what's his face?
Stanley Tucci.
Thank you.
I can't discuss that.
There aren't any records of any of these settlements.
Nope. When you're a poor kid from a poor family, and when a priest pays attention to you, it's a big deal.
Oh.
How do you say no to God?
You know what this is about.
Sacrifice.
Oh, you know what this is about.
Kitty diddling?
Came from the top down.
Church.
The
book,
story.
Leave me alone,
you
hear me,
goddamn it?
6% act out sexually.
6% is
90.
90 priests.
If there were 90 of these bastards, people would know.
Maybe they do. You're going to give me the names and the names of the victims.
Are you threatening me?
Yeah, that sounded like a threat.
My job.
Yeah, you and everyone else.
I am here because I care. We're going to tell this story. We're going to tell it right.
Oh, boy.
I'm hoping we can keep this between us until we all get on the same page.
Is that why we're here, to get on the same page?
We've got two stories here. A story about degenerate clergy, and a story about a bunch of lawyers turning child abuse into a cottage industry. Which story do you want us to write? Because we're writing one of them. I'm not crazy. They control everything. This is not just Boston. It's a whole country. It's a whole world.
They knew, and they let it happen. It could have been you. It could have been me. It could have been any of us.
So first of all, Spotlight looks amazing.
Yep.
I was aware of the movie. I have not seen it. But I was aware of the movie when it was announced. Because it got a lot of press. And it was popping up in my social feeds a bunch. Now, that being said, I have an immediate emotional reaction. Because I remember when the priest sexual assault story broke here in Boston. I remember.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, and it was big. The cardinal didn't want to talk about it, you know, because we had the archbishop of the diocese in Boston. And he was like, immediately went to the Vatican, and it was big news. It was everywhere. Everybody was talking about it and also not talking about it at the same time. You know, because the Boston area, I mean, New England, northern New England as a whole is primarily very heavily skewed Catholic.
Yes.
But Boston especially is very, very much a Catholic town primarily. You know, land of the Kennedys, all that kind of stuff. So when this broke, it was like the thing that everybody talked about in their houses, but nobody talked about outside. Because you didn't want to be perceived as a bad Catholic doubting your church and your priests. But everybody always had like that one priest that you never, like inherently, never wanted to leave children alone with.
Right.
And you just something about it. And they were definitely, like even at our church, when we were first going to our church up the street, there were certain priests that our mom was not comfortable with either of us being alone with, even when we did catechism classes. And I always thought that was very weird. And I never understood why until I was older and, like, this broke. So, on a personal level, I have, like, an immediate, oh my god, I remember, like, nostalgia. And watching the trailer, it looks really good. But I did not have the same reaction to that trailer that I did to Revenant or that I did to Room.
Okay.
But out of all the trailers that we've watched tonight, like my lead contenders for actually being Best Picture based on the trailer, because again, I've only seen The Martian. I would say that my top three contenders are the last three that we watched, Revenant, Room, and
Spotlight.
And I would say really for me, it's neck and neck between Revenant and Room. And I think, like, as far as taking away Best Picture, I think that I'd like Room to take it, but I want Leo to take,
like, Best Actor. So,
and Iñárritu to take Director.
I think, and this is solely on trailers, like we've talked about.
Yep.
For me, The Revenant was very impactful. It got me to engage in what was happening in that story.
It woke your ass up.
But I got goosebumps, literally up my arms, over Room. So, I think for me, Best Picture definitely has to go to Room. Only because, for one, it looks like it's a very minimal cast. And you have to be very careful about movies that have small casts because you're relying on the movie to be able to stand with only so many presences and influencers in a scene. So if you can get somebody who can completely own a scene,
like Joan Allen or Brie Larson, which Brie still surprises me.
You know, like, I think she's, like, she was like this hidden secret, like that mom and pop restaurant that like you don't want to tell your friends how good it is because then everyone's gonna go, but you make sure that you go on the regular so you know what's up, and you're slowly hoping that everyone else will just stumble upon it and you don't have to give up your secret. And that's what I think she feels like in most of the movies I've ever seen her in. Like, I mean, I think, what was she? She was in Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
And she actually sang as Ivy in that movie. Yeah. And she's not a singer.
She did a damn good job, though.
She jumps into whatever the role demands her to be. I wouldn't necessarily say she's a method actor, but you could definitely tell that she allows the narrative to take hold of her.
Yeah.
And it allows the narrative to do whatever it needs to do to portray itself accurately. So, like, you can't help but be mesmerized by her on screen. Whatever she has to do or say, it's done with purpose and direction. Then you're just like, I'm just going to follow you. Like, it's just that good. And, I mean, I don't know who this little kid actor is, but for one, for him to land such a crucially important role in a movie with such a sensitive topic that I'm sure even the child actor may not fully understand, but to be able to convey a truth that he doesn't know so accurately is amazing. And, I mean, for any actor to be able to kind of be in a movie that presents such a dark tone and to always be that warm, hopeful, like that sliver of humanity that we all still believe is out there, though we don't see it every day, is uplifting. And I think that's what really kind of pulls it in for me for Room, is that here's this really super shitty situation, and at the end of it, there is still hope for another day.
Right.
There is still beauty in that. And in Spotlight, yes, they want to uncover the truth, but they're, you know, that still is kind of seedy underbelly. That's still dark versus dark.
Right.
Trying to make right. And here is dark, you know, a good situation, good people subjected to something bad and still finding something beautiful and happy in the day. And then Revenant still kind of being purely, once again, dark for dark, tit for tat. Right. So I think the dynamic of the movie is what is really pushing Room up for me personally. But Leo definitely deserves some serious recognition for that, because like I said, it was very impactful and intense, and it definitely jolted my system when I didn't want to be engaged and involved, and it got me to rear up and look at the screen. So
agreed.
That's where those sit. Spotlight kind of freaks me out because I don't know if I fully remember all the stuff about the priests and stuff, but
the scandal. Yeah.
I mean, I've known that.
That ranged on for years, and then when they started paying people out and started talking about, you know, who got paid off early on, and it was like for weeks you would just have another person come forward, and another four people come forward, and another priest be accused. It was really something.
So I mean, like, it's scary, especially because...
And I was in high school, Catholic high school at the time when it broke.
Right. Ooh.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't want to go to St. Mary's. But anyway, I mean, when you come from... Like, I think for some people, it's really hard for them to watch movies that portray something about their personal life. Like, when The Town came out, even though I've never been to Southie, like, that's still Boston. Like, even though we're not from Boston, we're close enough to Boston that people are quick to be like, "Oh, you're practically Boston," and to see that happen, see that movie kind of touched me. And there was another one where
priests,
I think,
touched people too,
and Lawrence Fishburne was in it, and Kevin Bacon, and they were. I'm trying to think what movie that was. That The Town? That might have been The Town. But anyway,
yeah, I think you're thinking of The Town. There's The Town. There's The Departed.
Oh, right. Well, it's things that resonate in my home, and Ted, like, things that hit. And I mean, I'm very surprised what movie I'm surprised I didn't see here.
Mystic Pizza? Oh, I'm sorry. As far as reaching you, being Boston-y. Go ahead. No, what
Joy.
Movie? So here's the thing.
Did Joy not make the cut? Like, time-wise?
No, Joy made the cut.
Is it because they shot in Lynn?
No, it's not because they shot.
Because, I mean,
Lynn.
That would be a valid enough reason for most people, but.
No, it's not because they shot in Lynn. I have not seen Joy. I have seen the trailer for Joy multiple times. I don't know that I would put Joy in this caliber. Like, I mean, I don't know that I would put Joy up against Mad Max. And put
really?
It that way.
Okay. But anyway, so that...
Like, Selznick movies are good, but I think that this was one of those ones... Because the subject matter was so sketchy to begin with, like, not a lot is known about that chick in real life. That just felt odd to people that even though it was based on a real story, nobody really knew the real story. And I don't think it did really well.
Okay.
So I think it was one of those artistic movies that was artistic and meant to be a contender, and it just didn't hit the right chords.
Okay.
Where The Room and Revenant and Spotlight did.
Alright. So there you guys have it. Our 8 nominees for Best Picture in this year's Oscars.
I think it's The Room.
I think, and if it's not The Room,
it should be Revenant.
It should be Revenant. Absolutely. Granted, I think everyone who's in here, outside of, honestly, in my opinion, Brooklyn seems the most outreach, but then again, like you said, because it's like a period piece, that's where
I think that that's
where probably where it's getting its in for. And I mean, don't get me wrong, Tom Hanks, I don't think Tom Hanks can do anything wrong. In my mind, he'll always be big to me, no matter what he does.
That's sweet.
He's
always going to be Pism Buddies to me.
So those are our thoughts. You know, if you guys have, you know, have you seen any of these trailers and you think differently than
we do? Or these movies. You know, definitely hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Land of Ash, or just send us a message on Twitter at ESH News. Just message us and be like, I think blah, 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 blah. Because we would love to hear your thoughts. And definitely join us. Oscar night, we will be on the Twitter. We will be talking about the Oscars for sure. So make sure that you join us. We may have a hashtag. I'll put it on Twitter next week if we decide to use Esh at the Oscars or whatever. But we will be tweeting about the Oscars. So make sure that you follow at ESH News and Lady Esh on the Twitter, because we will be talking about it. Whole team probably will too. I don't even know. But because we're all film buffs. We're all nerds about entertainments. So make sure that you check that out. Also, make sure that you check out our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. That's where all of our news and reviews and previews will be found, including our retrospective, which is a look back by all of our editors on the games that made us gamers. So make sure that you check that out. New fresh looks going every week. All kinds of great content. So make sure that you check it out, electricsisterhood.com. Get our podcast on iTunes, on your desktop, or on your iOS device through the podcast application by searching for Eshcast and subscribing. You can also find our podcast on Stitcher Radio, on Google Play, on VogNetwork.com. Pretty much any place that podcasts can be found, you will find our podcast. So make sure that you search us out and subscribe to ensure the moment we put out a new episode, you can snag it. Be on the lookout. We'll be sharing a link pretty soon, both on our website as well as on social, to our Patreon. So if you want to help us move to the next level and continue to create great content, definitely consider supporting us on Patreon, because we need your support to keep doing what we do, because we love doing what we do. Check out the other great members of our team. A lot of phenomenal content can be found at b3crew.com, hosted by our homeboy KBD, No Borders, No Race, great podcast. If you like stuff that is indie, whether that's anime, manga, music, entertainment, movies, then definitely make sure that you check out No Borders, No Race over there. Also make sure, if you're into Let's Plays, fun video games, and just fun in general, that you check out Smash Rook. That's held down by our homeboy HamsterMan2049 with streams every Wednesday live on his Twitch. Definitely check those out. Watch our Facebook and our social for links to those when the stream goes live. Also, make sure that you're checking out our homies over at Nerd Crave. They're new to the block, but they're not new to the game. Nerd Crave, the stuff that nerds crave. Comics, movies, manga, anime, oh yeah, and games too. Held down by our homie, Louis Hendricks. Loving the pieces, so glad to have them in the family. And while the Structure Network is no more, Limit Break Studios, born from its ashes, will be up and running soon, and we are going to be doing some very interesting things with that team as well. So keep your eyes peeled. There's some cool stuff that's going to be happening. But until then, the Sensational Squad podcast is back. You can find it on SoundCloud. Make sure that you check it out. Our very own KBD is one of the co-hosts, so you have to check it out. With that, it's the part in the podcast where I turn to my sister. Yeah.
And I present an award.
Oh gosh, I hope it's a really good one this week.
And the award for making it through a marathon recording session without pumpkining completely goes to Pandalicious.
So I have to take burps.
because they kept waking me up.
They sustain you.
They every time I felt like I was going to get weak, one would come out and wake me right up. Same for muscle spasms in my legs. Thank you me for not eating enough spinach for my muscles because of the potassium.
Potassium?
Or lack of potassium. Potassium. I also want to thank pizza. Pizza's a big, big part of this because it really gave me my second and third wins to really pull through this. And I also want to thank Thin Mints because they're cookies and Ooh. They're good. So thank all of those things. All
right, so there you have it. Our very special Eshcast is in the bag. As always, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next time, folks.
Peace.